So, between 2017 and 2025, tech stocks surged by an astronomical 441%.
Yeah, which is just a staggering number to wrap your head around.
It really is. And, if you weren't actively holding equity in the market during that window, you didn't just miss out on a few decent returns. You basically sat on the sidelines for one of the greatest wealth transfers of the decade.
Right, you were completely benched.
Exactly. So today we are doing a deep dive into a really comprehensive manual. It's called A Beginner's Guide to Building Wealth Through Company Investing. And, our mission today for you, the listener, is to extract the ultimate jargon-free roadmap from this guide.
Because transitioning from feeling totally overwhelmed by finance to actually taking control of your future, it's a huge leap.
Huge. And we want to demystify how anyone can become a partial business owner. Because leaving your cash under the mattress or, just in a standard bank account, it's no longer the safest bet. Honestly, mathematically, it's a guaranteed loss.
Yeah, the overarching theme of the source material right from the jump is this fundamental mindset shift.
Yeah.
You have to move from being just a saver to becoming an owner.
Right.
Because when we look at the macroeconomic environment today, holding cash is essentially locking in a negative real yield. I mean, inflation just completely outpaces standard savings rates.
Okay, let's unpack this because we all understand the basic concept of inflation, right? Things get more expensive. But the mechanism of why holding cash is so destructive is really worth isolating here.
Absolutely.
Leaving your money in a traditional bank account is, it's like leaving a car idling in your driveway. The doors are locked, the alarm is on, you feel entirely secure. But the engine is running, and inflation is just quietly burning up the gas tank.
That is a great way to put it.
Right. Like you aren't losing the car itself, but you are bleeding the fuel you actually need to travel anywhere.
Yeah, and taking that analogy further, investing in equities is how you put that car in drive. It's how you actually utilize the engine. The guide emphasizes that to build actual wealth, you have to purchase productive assets.
Meaning companies.
Exactly, equities. You are buying a fractional ownership in living, breathing businesses that can actually adjust their pricing to match inflation. When you buy common shares, you aren't just, betting on some random ticker symbol moving up on a screen.
Right, it's not a casino.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
You are acquiring a claim on a company's future cash flows.
Yeah.
And more importantly, as the guide points out, you often get voting rights and a claim on their dividends.
And dividends are basically just bonuses paid out to shareholders, right?
Yeah, exactly. When a company distributes a portion of its profits back to you, that cash can be reinvested to buy even more shares. And that right there is the mechanical engine of compound growth.
Which is where the real magic
Right.
happens.
You aren't just relying on the share price to go up. You're actively accumulating more ownership without actually deploying any new capital from your own pocket.
But I do want to clarify something because the guide is very careful to situate this within a broader ecosystem. It's not saying, liquidate your entire life and put it all in stocks.
Oh, definitely not.
It frames equity as one specific building block. It's meant to sit right alongside real estate or your tax-advantaged accounts like IRAs or retirement annuities.
Which is a crucial distinction to make. Company investing is the component specifically designed to outpace inflation and compound wealth over a long horizon. It protects against that idling loss you mentioned.
Okay, so if the goal is to acquire a slice of a productive engine, how do we evaluate which engine is actually worth buying? I mean, what are we actually looking for here?
Well, the guide points to a surprisingly qualitative factor first, which is leadership and reputation.
Right, the human element.
Yeah. And they cite this really fascinating research from Harvard Business School regarding the impact of a CEO.
Oh, yeah, the strategy fit thing.
Right. What's fascinating here is that the HBS research demonstrates that when a company has a leader who is the optimal fit for their specific strategy, overall productivity increases by roughly 20%.
Wait, really? 20% just from having the right person in charge?
Yep, roughly 20%.
That's massive. But let's dissect that a bit because productivity in this context, I mean, it isn't just employees answering emails faster, right? What does a strategy fit actually look like on a balance sheet?
So it essentially manifests as capital efficiency. A CEO with the right fit knows exactly where to allocate resources to get the highest return. It trickles down into the exact financial metrics the guide tells us to look for.
Like consistent earnings and strong profitability.
Exactly. And the big one they highlight is return on equity, or ROE, alongside manageable debt. If the leadership is the brain, the ROE tells you how effectively that brain is functioning with the money shareholders gave them.
Okay, that makes sense. And Investopedia actually contributed to this section of the guide too, right?
Yeah, they layered onto this by pointing out that well-known brands and ethical cultures are fantastic low-risk options for beginners. Because a strong brand reputation, it acts as a moat. People trust it.
Right, but I actually want to push back on one specific piece of advice the guide offers here.
Okay, let's hear it.
So the guide advocates for this classic invest in what you know philosophy. The idea is that if you stick to sectors you understand, your personal experience helps you decipher the news and the trends.
Yeah, that's a very common piece of advice.
But let's say I just really, really love drinking a specific brand of coffee every single day.
Okay.
Does my affection for their cold brew actually give me enough insight to buy their stock? I mean, isn't there a huge danger of confusing consumer affection with actual financial viability? Just because the drive-thru is packed doesn't mean their corporate debt isn't a total disaster.
That is such a good point, and it's the fundamental danger of taking invest in what you know too literally. Consumer affection is totally divorced from capital structure. You can make the best coffee in the world and still file for bankruptcy if your debt is unsustainable. But your consumer experience is still a highly valuable filter.
So how do we bridge that gap then?
By using it as the starting line. Your qualitative observation, like trusting a brand or noticing they have a great leader, tells you where to look. But it must immediately be subjected to a quantitative audit.
Ah, I see.
You take your hypothesis, you look at the financials, and those qualitative factors translate directly into quantitative gains, like that 20% productivity boost from the HBS study. The math has to back up the feeling.
Got it. Okay, so finding a good company isn't enough, though. We need a balanced diet. So what does this all mean when we look at your actual life goals?
Right, portfolio construction.
Yeah, and I like to look at this through the analogy of building a sports team.
Oh, I like that.
Right, because if you want to win the championship over the long term, you absolutely need those flashy, high-risk star strikers. That's your growth stocks, your tech, your AI.
One score on the big points.
Exactly. The guide mentions that tech stocks surged that massive 441% from 2017 to 2025. You need that explosive potential. But if your entire team is just strikers, you're going to get crushed on defense.
Yeah, you'll lose every time the other team gets the ball.
Right. So you absolutely must have the steady, reliable defenders. And those are your stable blue chip stocks.
Your Coca-Cola's, your Johnson & Johnson's.
Precisely. They are less volatile, they deliver consistent dividends, and they protect you when the market gets chaotic. You need both to win.
That's a perfect analogy. And the guide emphasizes that risk is completely unavoidable. But diversification, spreading your money across different sectors and types of stocks, that is the shield. It ensures no single loss derails your whole timeline.
And speaking of timelines, the ratio of strikers to defenders really depends on when you need the money, right?
Exactly. The source material maps this out beautifully. If you have short-term goals like a holiday fund or a six-month emergency fund, you shouldn't be in equities at all. You need low-risk, highly accessible accounts.
Because if the market drops right when you need to pay for an emergency,
you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then for medium-term goals, you look at balanced funds or bonds. But long-term goals, like buying a house in 10 years or retirement, that is where company shares and equity are the absolute best vehicle.
Because you have the time to ride out the volatility.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the guide also brings up dollar cost averaging to help with that ride.
Oh, right. Investing small, consistent sums rather than erratic lump sums.
Yeah, builds confidence and portfolio strength. You buy a little bit every month, regardless of what the market is doing. It totally removes the emotion and the anxiety of trying to time the market perfectly.
It's just automatic discipline.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've built the theoretical strategy. We know why we're doing it. We know what to look for and how to balance it. But how does a listener actually push the buttons?
Right, moving from philosophy to practice.
Yeah, the guide gives us this incredibly practical 2025 toolkit to execute the plan. Let's talk about the research side first.
Sure. They list quite a few. There's Stock Rover, which is a paid platform for long-term screening. FINV, which is freemium and great for quick comparisons. TradingView for visual charts.
And Seeking Alpha Premium for paid analyst insights, plus Beyond SPX for free, fast summaries.
Yep, but the one that really stands out in the guide is Rise AI.
Oh, yeah. Here's where it gets really interesting.
Right. It's a freemium AI-assisted research tool. It doesn't just give you data. It actually explains the investment logic and allows you to simulate scenarios.
which is wild. And then on the action platform side, the actual execution, the guide highlights Usul Gamma. This is great for new investors or those with a low budget in Saudi Arabia. It lets you start from just 500 SAR in vetted real estate backed companies,
which is such a low barrier to entry.
Yeah.
And in the US, they highlight Stash, which is a freemium app focused on goal-based investing with automated plans and fractional shares.
Fractional shares are a game changer.
Absolutely. And then there's eToro, which is heavily focused on social investing and copy trading.
Okay, wait, I have to pause here because this is where I get a little skeptical.
Uh-oh.
No, seriously, think about it. We are using Rise AI to simulate logic, and then we're going on eToro and just copying other traders. Are we actually learning how to be business owners here, or are we just outsourcing our brains to algorithms?
That is a very fair question. It feels a bit like cheating.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, if I'm just mirroring someone else's trades, I don't really know what I own or why I own it.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the guide really frames these tools as ways to lower the barrier to entry. They don't replace the foundational research.
Okay.
They just make the execution less daunting. Think about Stash's fractional shares or Usul Gamma's 500 SAR threshold. It allows a beginner to make their first consistent deposits without needing thousands of dollars up front.
So they're more like training wheels.
Exactly. Copy trading or AI summaries shouldn't replace your own understanding, but they help you get skin in the game while you learn. They reduce the friction of just getting started.
Okay, I can see that. It gets you off the sidelines and onto the field.
Exactly.
Well, looking back at everything we've covered, it really has been a journey today. We started by understanding that massive shift from just saving cash to actually owning productive assets.
Right, getting the car out of the driveway.
Yes. And then looking for strong leadership and solid financials. Balancing our flashy tech growth stocks with those stable blue chip defenders. And finally, utilizing this incredibly accessible 2025 toolkit to start small and just stay consistent.
And the big takeaway here is that building wealth isn't some exclusive VIP club just for the rich anymore.
Not at all.
It requires diligence,
yeah,
clear intentions, and a willingness to learn. But you have the roadmap now. The tools are literally right at your fingertips.
They really are. But, you know, before we wrap up, there's one final thing I want to leave you, the listener, to mull over. Something that builds on everything we've talked about today.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
Think about this. If buying a share technically makes you a part owner of a business.
Yeah.
How might that completely change the way you view the products you buy, the ads you see, and the services you use every single day?
That is a fascinating perspective shift.
Right. The next time you grab a brand name coffee or use a piece of tech, ask yourself, am I just a customer here or could I be the owner?